Well, good morning. It's good to be here. It's good to see all of you today. I've heard the message loud and clear about a 12 o'clock shut off. I'm going to try my best to do that. That was a bad idea to put me up here on a day like today. On Wednesday, I was speaking at a church in North Carolina. I'm from North Carolina. It was Wednesday night, and there was a game going on down in North Carolina. Two teams, and they wanted to end at a certain time, and actually I wanted to end at a certain time too, so I could get home and watch that game. So I am capable of ending on time. So I'll try to do that today for you. I want to take a little bit of time just to talk about Indonesia and what we're doing there, and then just open up the Word and share with you for a little bit as well. We have been in Indonesia for about 11 years. We went there in later part of 2007, and you guys have been with us, supporting us the whole way. We're really excited about what God is doing. Now, something happens whenever we come to a church and we talk about it, and it happens both ways. Now, when we're in Indonesia, a lot of the people, well, not a lot, all the people in Indonesia, they don't look like us. Like, my hair is very light colored for them, and my skin is very white. And they often come, "You're white like a ghost," you know, like, and another thing is like my arm hair. Like, often I will have men come up to me and rub my arm hair because it's just different. You know, they don't have that. Or like Tom, he's got his beard and the guy on the bass has a nice beard. Like, they would just like, they would, "How do you do this, Tom? What is the secret to your wonderful beard?" But here's what happens when we come to America. We come here and people look at us like, "Oh, it's John and Christy. They're weird. They're different. They're not like us." I want to tell you, we are just like you. And so you see a picture of us. This is our family. We're with people that dress differently and have a different culture. But really, we're just like you. We're just living in a different place, telling people about Jesus. And so I really want you guys, as you hear a little bit in these couple stories I'm going to tell in a minute, just see yourselves as you think about us, you pray for us. You are a part of what is happening. You are there walking alongside of us, sharing alongside of us as you partner with us in the gospel. And we're excited about what God is doing. I want to tell a quick story about a village in Indonesia, and then I'll tell a quick story about a bit of a movement that we're starting to see happening with some people there. This first picture is a village. It's called Munduk Dawa. As you can see, it's very green. This is when we were like walking through a jungle, like a rainforest. They had water. There was a spring in the middle of this forest. And they said, "Can you get the water from this spring to our community?" And it was about 2 miles, a little over 2 miles. And the whole pipe run had to go through this jungle. And we were climbing up and down through there. And it was full of, like, there's pythons, like 30-foot long pythons in this jungle as we're, like, laying this pipe. And the pipe was black and about the size of a python. And so it messed with me a couple of times. But it was interesting. As we got closer, I'm going to skip to the next one. And people started hearing in the village, they're like, "Hey, they're laying this pipe." And when we started laying the pipe, they're like, "It's not going to work. It'll never work. It's too far. The pipe is not big enough. It's not enough pressure." They said all these things. And then we started laying the pipe, and these are guys from the village with us, and they started seeing how much water was coming out of that pipe. And they're like, "Wait, this might actually happen. We might actually have water in our village." And so it started getting closer and closer as we started laying the pipe. And then I remember the day that the pipe was in the middle of the street in the village, the dirt road where they were, and like little kids came up and were washing themselves and playing in the water. Moms were coming with buckets, like filling up their buckets. And I was like, wait, just wait a minute. Like, in a little bit, this is going to not just be in the middle of your street. It's going to be in your kitchen, and you're going to turn a faucet, and it's going to be there. And you think about that, how much it transforms. It changes a person's life. And it was an amazing thing. The day that we got it, the water was there. And this is one of the water tanks we did. And this is the family that lives here. And when Indonesians get their pictures taken, you know, America, you say 1, 2, 3 cheese or something like that. And what do people do? They smile. In Indonesia, when you say 1, 2, 3, they go, no smile. They look very serious. So this couple, I was taking their picture and I said, "Hey, you know, there were some businessmen that had given some money to build the tanks and pipes and stuff." I said, "They might want to see that you actually enjoy the fact that you have water. So how about you, like, let's take another one, maybe be a little bit more relaxed." I thought they would smile, but he just put his arm around his wife and, they still didn't have a smile, so she was not very excited about that. But I want to tell you a story. This village, Munduk Dawa, is part of 8 villages. It's an area in our island, and these 8 villages came together and they said, "We are a pure Hindu area. No Christians, no Muslims, no churches, no mosques. It's only Hindus here. And they were very adamant about that. One of the Indonesian partners that we work with, he's from this area. And when he came to faith, he was kicked out of the village. But he always had a heart to go back. And so when we went back and started doing this water project, what does that mean? We aren't just like laying pipe and like building tanks. Every day we're talking about the gospel. We're talking about who Jesus is and what he's done. I want to say like 3 years ago, there was no believers in this village. And now there is about 200, 300 feet from this tank. There is a small room where believers get together to worship together. And there's a small church there. It's really exciting in Munduk Dawa. And there are a lot of other families who are kind of watching it from a distance. They're interested in Jesus. They're interested who he is, what he's about. But like that person that got kicked out, they're waiting to see, are they going to stay or not? So would you pray for the new believers in Munduk Dawa that they would stay where they are, that the gospel would stay where it has been planted, and that the believers would multiply there and they'd be bold to share their faith with other people. I'm going to skip through a bunch of these just to kind of get to something else. That was Putu. I told his story. Another thing that we do is we do physical therapy. We distribute wheelchairs, crutches to things, people in villages that can't get to a hospital. And I wish I had time to tell Jatiana's story and this guy's story as well, Nunga. There's a new family just down the street from this guy's house who has recently come to faith. And Nunga has been studying the Bible for weeks and weeks and weeks. And you can pray for him that he would continue and get to the place where he's ready to follow Jesus. But I want to tell you a story. This is a picture of islands. In Indonesia, there's about 13,000 islands. Half of those have people on them. And a lot of times when we talk about those different islands, there's people groups. Indonesia has around 400 different languages, distinct cultures and people groups. And about 30, this is going to show you just a map of Indonesia. There's some colors and some things. It's probably hard to understand. But what that represents is we still have about 35 unengaged, unreached people groups. And you might have heard of like a UPG, an unreached people group. When we talk about an unengaged, unreached people group, it's not just a place where there's a few Christians or there's like one small church, but there are no believers, no churches, and no one from the outside has intentionally gone to that area to tell people about Jesus. So essentially you have tens of thousands of people in these groups that live their lives and never hear the gospel. And that's what we're looking at in Indonesia. When we see not just our island, we have a vision to see more people go out to other places and reach these places that have yet to be reached. We're thinking about how's that going to happen? And so what we started to do was we started to train a lot of Indonesians that we know and people that we work with. And something really cool has happened that I would not have thought could happen. There are university students, people that are still in college, still in medical school or dental school, or they're finishing up their engineering degree, or people that have just started. And here's what they're doing. I'm going to tell you a story about a guy named Sam. And he's on the front row. This might have a pointer here. He's that guy right there. His name is Sam. I want to tell you his story. He's in his last semester of dental school. And if you're a dentist in Indonesia, it's like the ticket to the good life. Like you get, you know, the nice house, the nice car, some motorbikes too. That might not appeal to you, but it does to Indonesians. You got some sweet motorbikes, pretty wife, you know, everything you'd want. Lots of money. You live in the big city. All these things. But Sam, he came to this. This is a training we did for university students. We started talking about God's heart for the nations. And Sam, he was preparing to be a dentist. And he said, wait a minute. He's like, if this is true, if God's heart is for the nations, God's heart is for my people, he decided, he's like, I'm going to give up all that. And instead of being a dentist in the big city with the big money and all that stuff, he basically looked at that map that I showed you earlier and said, where are the unengaged, unreached people groups? And you know where else they need dentists and where they need doctors and where they need engineers? In those places that have yet to be reached with the gospel as well. And so the Indonesian government has these programs. We want to put doctors in these places, but nobody wants to go. We want to put dentists in these places, but nobody wants to go. And so what we are doing is we are trying to train and mobilize Indonesian believers to have a heart to go to those places where nobody else wants to go. And so Sam has made that decision. I'm going to live in a place, no good Wi-Fi there, not a good cell signal. You know, your cell phone's not going to get all the stuff you need. But he's like, I'm willing to give all that up for the sake of more people coming to know who Jesus is. And when we're really excited about what's going to happen in Indonesia, it's not what John's going to do. It's not what Christy's going to do. It's what people like Sam are going to do. And we pray that he is one of thousands more that are going to be like him. There's a guy sitting right beside Sam. His name is Yo. That's his name. It's really Yo. His name is Yo. And I remember he was in the same training. And right after we finished, I got a call from somebody and they said, "Hey, Yo is like ready to go." It didn't sound like that in Indonesian, but Yo siap pergi, dia sangat siap pergi. But Yo is ready to go. And I'm like, really? So I met with Yo and I was like, "Hey, what's going on? Like, you want to go?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm going, man." I was like, "Well, where are you going to go?" He's like, "I don't know, but I'm going." I was like, "How are you going to get there?" He's like, "I'm not sure, but I am going. I want to go and reach these unengaged, unreached people groups." So he has a undergrad in chemistry. And so he applied for a master's program, but not anywhere in Indonesia. He applied for a master's program in a tiny little country in the Middle East. I'm not even going to say it because it's a very dangerous place to live if you're going to live there for the sake of the gospel. And right now, we took this picture, and about 9 to 10 months later, after he did some training, he was studying Arabic, all this stuff. This is a picture of us with Yo at the airport, and he's on a plane to go to the Middle East. And so there's a lot more stories like Yo and like Sam, and we believe that God is starting something that's going to make it so much more. As God multiplies people like this, we can reach not just places in Indonesia that have yet to be reached, but places all over the world. And so we're excited about that and what's happening there in Indonesia. I have this picture of this old man. He's actually lives in a village where we are. And I think about him. And for me, he represents all these places that have yet to be reached. And so as you think about Indonesia, as you think about us, would you pray for the places that have yet to be reached? Would you pray for men like him that maybe have gone their whole life and are getting to the end of their life and they've never had a clear explanation or understanding of who Jesus is or what the gospel is? And so we pray that it would happen through us, but also through the people that we're training and the people that they're training to train. So we're going to be hanging around for a while after the service. If you have more questions about that, we'd love to talk about that and how, what God's doing. So we're going to shift from that in a little bit. We're going to just open up the word for a little bit together as we look at that. This is not going to be your typical sermon. I just want to say, if you're new here to church, this is probably not the way the preaching usually is, so I apologize for that. It's much better the other time, so amen? Yeah. Amen. But whenever I've been married for 16 years. Sorry, I shouldn't hesitate when I say that. I should confidently say 16 years. Christy is over there, and Jaden is beside her. I went to a church the other day, and they thought Jaden was my wife, which is awkward. Jaden is my daughter. So that was interesting. But as we've celebrated birthdays over the years, one time for Christy's birthday or for Valentine's Day, I can't remember, we went to a rodeo, like a PBR real rodeo in a big coliseum. So much camouflage in that place. It was intense, and we felt so out of place. But it was fun to be there and to watch it, like, kind of from a distance. It was a different culture, but Christy really likes those kind of things, so we did that. We also, one birthday, we went to a baseball game. And some of you might be thinking, really? Baseball game? That's not the most exciting thing. But Christy loves baseball. And right now we are saving up our money to jump out of an airplane together. Not together, with other people, with a parachute, right? So we're saving up money for that. And you might think, oh, that's another weird birthday, but like that's something that's on Christy's, her bucket list. She wants to do that. That's not on my bucket list, but I love her, and so I'm going to jump out of that plane with her. Somebody will probably push me out, but that'll be all right. And so you might be thinking, oh, John, that's so sweet. You know your wife's heart so well. But, I've been going through some marriage counseling lately. And guys, if you're here and you're married and you haven't been through marriage counseling, just go to marriage counseling. It's great. Talk about your feelings and your heart. It's a really good thing. Because what I've learned through marriage counseling is I don't really understand and know my wife's heart as much as I should. I don't get it as much as I should. And so I've learned, even though other people might think, oh, you know her so well, I really don't. And so it's something I'm working on getting better at. And as we think about, if you really know a person's heart, if we spent time talking, I like to talk about important things, so I'd ask you hard questions, and we talk about things about what's on your heart, what's important to you. If we use that phrase, what's on your heart, it gets to the heart of the matter. Like, what do you care about? What's important to you? And if we think about God, when we stop to think about what is on God's heart, what's important to Him, we could talk about a lot of things. We could talk about all kinds of things. But this morning, I want to take just a few minutes to focus on this one word or concept that we see throughout Scripture. And it keeps on popping up. And it's from Genesis to Revelation. It's this idea that God greatly cares about and cares for the nations, the peoples of the world, the nations. And we'll define that word, the nations, a bit later. But we'll also try to consider if God's heart is for the nations, if God's heart truly is for the nations, for every nation, for every people on earth, should not our heart also be the same? Should not our heart beat and beat? We should deeply care for the nations as well. And two things before we start. So we don't have a lot of time. We're going to run through some scriptures. Again, like I said, this is not going to be a typical sermon. Some scriptures I will allude to, some we will read together. So be ready to flip to those or swipe to those or whatever. We'll work together to do this. Second of all, remember, as I share this morning, I'm a guy, we are a family that lives in another country. I spent the last 11 years of my life outside of America. And so as I share this, I do not want you to think that I am talking, this is not a political statement I'm making this morning. Okay, let's just remember that. This has nothing to do with anything political. So I don't want to get in trouble for that. But if that bothers you, we can talk about it afterwards. I'm just trying to highlight a biblical principle that we see throughout Scripture and throughout the Bible. So let's get into this. As we look at how the biblical narrative begins, you remember the story of creation. We see a command over and over again, starting in the book of Genesis. God says to men, be fruitful, multiply, fill up the earth. He says that to Adam and Eve. He repeats that again when he says it to Noah and his sons after the earth was destroyed by the flood. He repeats that command, be fruitful, multiply, fill up the earth. And that idea of filling up the earth, it's like make it full, like make every part of it full. And that was God's plan from the very beginning. And when we come to Genesis chapter 11, you can start turning there if you want to. Genesis chapter 11. What do we find man doing? You might know this. Turn into Genesis 11 if you've been in church a long time. You might be thinking, you know, this is the story of the Tower of Babel. And so we have one people, for those of you who know the story, one people, like they had come together in one place, they had one language, and they had a plan. They wanted to build a big tower, and we'll read in a second, and they make a key statement as they plan and describe their reasoning for building this tower, and it's in verse 4, we'll look at it together. And so they're saying, let's build a city, let's build a big tower to reach heaven, let's make a name for ourselves, and look at verse 4 with me. Come, let's build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the sky. Let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, and here's the reason, we will be scattered throughout the whole earth. Otherwise, we will be scattered throughout the earth. And so these men, they came together, these guys, they came together. They wanted the exact opposite of what God wanted. God was saying, hey, no, I want you to fill up the earth. I want you to multiply, go all over the place. And they came to one place and they said, no, let's stay here. And you know the story. God steps in. And because what they were doing was directly opposite to what he wanted. And there's some other theological themes that we could talk about here, but we won't this morning. God stepped in. He confused their language. And because of that, it scatters them abroad over the face of the whole earth. And God accomplishes what his initial plan was. He wants them to go and multiply, fill up the earth. In Genesis 10, the chapter previously this, it details how this scattering resulted in unique nations, family lines, languages. All these things are happening. And then we just move over a couple chapters. We're going to read again in Genesis chapter 12. We find a man named Abram. He's later going to be called Abraham. And God chooses him and is going to bless him and make him a great nation. Let's read verses 1 through 3 together. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And the Lord said to Abram, go out from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land I will show you, to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And I think verse 2, some of your Bibles actually might have this. If you look at verse 2, the very last sentence or the last phrase there, it says, and you will be a blessing. Some of your Bibles might even say, so that you will be a blessing. And we look at that, there's like a conjunction there. And I think in the original language, it comes out better. Like it's a conjunction. It's a marker for result. What is the result of all these blessings? Great nation, I will bless you so that you will be a blessing. I want to point out just two things here from just this passage, and we'll keep on going. God promises some big stuff to Abraham here. He's going to have a great name, land, he'll become a great nation. These are blessings, good things. But too often we as Christians get stuck. Can I just say the top lines of this verse, the blessings part, is the top part. And we don't like to talk about the bottom line of this verse. The bottom line would be, so that you will be a blessing. And sometimes we can think that way. We can think, God, and all of our, a lot of times this comes out in the way that you pray. God, will you bless me? Will you bless my family? Will you bless my kids? Will you bless my church? Will you bless my school? Will you bless this? It's all about me. And my little kids aren't here, so I can talk about them. Jaden, I'm not talking about you. This is my little kids. When we first got back to America, we would go to Target or Walmart. And when you go to Walmart or Target or any grocery store for that matter in America, there's like a whole aisle of cereal. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's like 18 different kinds. And then we get there and there is a chocolate version of Lucky Charms now. And for a person that doesn't live here, it's like, this is the best idea I've ever seen. Like chocolate Lucky Charms. And our kids are like, can we have this? Can we have that? And then you go to the grocery store, and I don't know how it works here, but where I come from, we have this place called Food Lion. When I talk about where I come from, I always get my southern accent back. Where I come from, that's right. Amen. That's right. We have Food Lion, and Food Lion has the MVP card, right? And you get that MVP card, and you go to the ice cream section, and there's always buy one, get one free ice cream, or like really great deals. You can't resist that. And my kids are like, I want this, I want that. I weigh a little bit more now than I did when I just got back from America. I put on about 20 pounds, so I appreciate all the ice cream has done for me. But my kids, they're like, me. And sometimes we can do the same thing. And I want to tell you this morning, especially if you're here and you are not a follower of Jesus, that God loves you. He cares so much about you and your story and where you've come from. And he is doing something incredible in your life to draw you to himself. I believe that. And for those of us who are followers of Christ, I think he cares about you deeply. But I want to tell you something. It is not all about you. It's not all about this church and Virginia or this place that you live. God has a much bigger plan that is happening. And it doesn't stop with us here. And so that's the question for you. Are you a top-line Christian or a bottom-line Christian? I want the blessing. I'm here for me. Or is it like, no, I want to be a blessing. I want to funnel that blessing to other people. The second thing I want you to think about just is that you'll see here at the end of verse 3, in Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And ultimately, we know that through Abraham, as the ancestor of Jesus, he will be a blessing to all the families on earth through Christ. But you see that word there, families, or peoples, you might see it there. What does that word mean? Similar to what I said earlier when we were talking about unengaged, unreached people groups. That's a word there that refers to people that have their own distinct language, their own distinct culture. It distinguishes them from other places, other people. And so can I start just saying people groups? And through Christ, we see that all, I hope all your Bibles have that, all the peoples on earth will be blessed. All peoples, all people groups. So even in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, God has this plan to rescue and to show his love to every people group on earth, the nations. Even after the violence that was happening during the time of Noah, after the disobedience at the Tower of Babel, God is talking about how salvation will be known among other people groups, nations all over the world. Now, can we move over to the Psalms? Let's turn to Psalm chapter 67. We're going to just read some of these really quickly. Psalm 67. I like to hear real Bible still. I'm hearing pages turn. That's good. You know, I'm old, but not too old. So like, I like the phones, like, but I also like the Bible. It's good to hear the pages turn. These first couple of verses in Psalm 67, we're going to read verses 1 through 4, are borrowed from number 6. You'll probably remember. They'll sound familiar to you. So let's read Psalm 67, 1 through 4 together real quick. May God be gracious to us and bless us. May He make His face shine upon us, so that Your way may be known on earth, Your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise You, God. Let all the peoples praise You. Let the nations rejoice and shout for joy. And as we start to read those first couple verses together, he's asking for, God be gracious to us, bless us, make Your face shine upon us. And that starts to sound like we were talking about earlier, that top line Christian. It's all about me. God, I love You, but I want You to really love me. That's what it's all about. But again, we see a conjunction here at the beginning of verse 2. So that, what? So that Your way may be known on earth, Your salvation among all nations. Again, you see God's heart going to all nations, all people. And later on in verse 4, we see a great phrase from the scripture, let the nations, verse 4, let the nations rejoice. Sometimes it says, let the nations be glad and shout for joy. It's reminding us that even though this was written and intended for the nation of Israel, that them being chosen and blessed by God was not something that was to be hoarded and kept for themselves. It was for them to be a light to the nations. Now let's go over to a few chapters to Psalm 96. And you're going to start thinking to your mind, John, this is saying the same thing over and over again. And I'm saying, it is saying the same thing over again. Over and over again. Because this is what God's heart is. And we could go to a lot of other scriptures. Psalm 96. I love this passage because it's full of, we'll read it first. Psalm chapter 96, we'll read verses 1 through 3. Sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Bless His name. Proclaim His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wondrous works among all peoples. I love this passage because it has a lot of good imperative words in it, like sing and bless, proclaim. Your Bible might say tell or declare. And anytime you see like an imperative command, it's something that's important, that's really crucial. I did mention that I gained some weight here in America. I've been trying not to do that. When we got back, there was often a freezer full of ice cream, and there were cookies around. There was the Lucky Charms, and we were staying with my brother-in-law. His name is Chris. He's a couple years older than me. He's a little bit larger than me, and he was trying to keep his weight down as well. And so we were encouraging each other to, like, eat salad and things like this. And I'm seeing all these young people up here, man. And, like, I'm so glad you guys are here. But what you have to look forward to is, like, Diet Dr. Pepper. And, like, and you're going to go to Chick-fil-A and you're going to get the Diet Lemonade. It's enjoy while you can. Just eat whatever you can while you can. Because you guys know what I'm talking about. Diet Dr. Pepper is in your future. But I remember I was at his house, and I would open up this refrigerator just to look in there. I wasn't hungry. I didn't need anything. And Chris is like, shut that refrigerator door. That's an imperative. It's like, shut that door. And like, that's a cookie. I've had three. I might as well have another one. And I pick up. He's like, put the cookie down. Like, he was imperative things. These were important things for my life, for my health. And he was saying these things to me. And these are what we see here. We see imperatives that are very important. Sing to the Lord, where all the earth. Declare His glory. Where? Among the nations. And that word declare is just another way of saying make it known. Make God's name known. His works known to every single people group. And this is the Old Testament. And we could keep on going talking about God's heart for the nations from the Old Testament. We don't have time for that. We could talk about in the book of Exodus when God says that He raised up Pharaoh and He showed His power so that God's name will be proclaimed where? In all the earth. He wanted everyone to know His name. We could talk about in 1 Kings when Solomon is praying. He's asking God to hear the prayers of the non-Jewish people that come to the temple. Again, there was this really important word. So that all the peoples of the earth may know God's name. In Isaiah, it's a really awesome passage in Isaiah when he's talking about the coming of the Messiah, God says, it is too light a thing that you, and again, he's talking about the Messiah, the promised one. It's too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. That's too small a thing just for Israel. I will also make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach, where? To the end of the earth. So we're going to go to the New Testament real quick. I'm just going to read over two scriptures that we know really well. But I hope you get this. When I was a kid, when I was young, in my mind, I saw the God of the Old Testament as like a big guy with a big white beard and a stick in his hand, and he was mean. But then the New Testament, God somehow changed his heart and became nice. And that's such a messed up, wrong view of God. God's heart has always been for people from the beginning until now. It has not changed. So we're going to turn now to Matthew 28 in the New Testament. A lot of you guys know that as the Great Commission. That's where most missionaries preach from. But that's not a new thing. It's not like God said, oh, this is some new idea I got. This is a continuing theme. So Matthew chapter 28, we're going to read verses 19 and 20. And again, you probably know this by heart. We'll start in verse 18. Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Again, it's not a new thing. All nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. And again, we see the same thing. What is the scope, or what is the imperative to make disciples? What is the scope? All the nations. And in this passage, we see that word nations. It's that Greek word ethnos. It's where we get the word like ethnic or ethnicity from. But again, it's this word referring to nations, people that have their own distinct culture, their own distinct language. And so when we look at a country like Indonesia, where we live, you might think, oh, that's one geopolitical nation. That's Indonesia. Or you might look at a country like China or the Sudan, or like, that's one place. And they're all the same. But when God sees that, he sees like what a lot of people would look at. There's almost 400 different languages in Indonesia. In a place like India, there's, I think, about 700 different languages and people groups. So when we talk about reaching India, I think God has a heart to reach every single people group, every language. In Indonesia, I talked earlier, we still have 30 unengaged, unreached people groups. So for 2,000 years after Jesus came, so Jesus died on the cross, so that people might come to know him, might be saved. And 2,000 years later, there are still people, there are still nations that have no idea who Jesus is or what he did for them. And I think that breaks God's heart. I know that affects my heart. I hope that does something for your heart. And how do you feel when you hear that? Does it change you? Are you like, man, I need to do something different with my life. I need to do something with the way I see my future. My plan for what I'm going to do for a job. Who I'm going to marry. What I'm going to study. I want to read one more passage to you as we close. I'm just going to read it real quick. And this is the end. We're getting close to the end. It's Revelation. Revelation chapter 7. And again, there's a lot of theological things we could talk about with this passage. And we could spend a lot of time doing that. But I do just want to read it real quick, just to kind of give you this idea as we read the reality of what will happen. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After this, I looked, and there was a vast multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language, which no one could number, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb. So you get this idea at the very end. There are people standing before the throne from every nation, every tribe, every language, every people. That's what's going to happen. That's what God is doing. That's God's plan. And I think the great thing about what we have the privilege is we get to join God and be a part of that in some way. And so I just want to kind of give you two quick ideas for you to think through this morning. As we think about God's heart for the nations, what should we do? What should you do? First, here in America, in a lot of ways, if Virginia Beach, if the Hampton Roads area is anything like where I'm from, down in Greensboro, North Carolina, in a lot of ways, the nations have come to us. Again, this is not a political speech, okay? But you can go to a lot of places in America, probably here, and you don't hear English being spoken or Spanish. You hear some other language. And you see people that look differently than you. Or they're wearing clothes that you wouldn't wear. They're speaking in a way that you wouldn't speak. The nations have come here. They're around us. And if we think about that, God's heart is for those people. All these different nationalities, all these different ethnicities, the people groups that have come here, regardless of, and there's a really good, we could talk about politics. We won't get into that this morning. We could talk about that. That's a good discussion to have. But let's look at the reality. If the people are here in front of you, in front of your eyes, and you see them, do you have God's heart as you see them? The nations have come here, and how is your heart towards them? Do you have God's heart first? And what can you be doing so that the nations that are here can come to know who Jesus is? Can come to know who he is? I've heard so many incredible stories of people that have come from nations and heard about Jesus in America. It's an incredible thing that God is doing, orchestrating all these things. You don't have to go to Indonesia to reach Indonesians. I can talk to Indonesians. They live about 20 minutes from where I live. They work at the Japanese restaurant, if that makes any sense at all. It doesn't. So first of all, what about your heart for the nations that are here? Second of all, God isn't moving among the nations around the world. People from some of the most resistant people groups around the world, some of the most radical, extreme groups, are coming to faith in incredibly large numbers. And yet there are still more. There are hundreds, there are thousands more people groups that don't have a gospel witness among them. There are nations that are closed off to the gospel, and they don't necessarily need, I'm going to use this word carefully, missionaries. I don't really like the word missionaries. If you want to ask me about that afterward, you can ask me. But they need doctors and engineers and teachers and nurses to go to the nations and reach them as a missionary, but not as a missionary, if you know what I mean. So maybe God wants you to go. Maybe God wants you to do something to reach the nations, to reach people that have never heard about him. So I'm just asking you, and I'm not talking just to like people that are like younger than 30 here, okay? I'm talking about to every single person here. What has God gifted you in? You have skills, you have education, you have experience that can be used to see God's name made known through in the world. I'm talking to you guys too. You got it all in front of you. And you can say, man, I want the big life. I want this. I want to be known. I want this. But God is calling you to do something bigger with your life. And don't waste it. God wants you to do something for the nations. It doesn't mean you have to go. But it does mean your heart has to be moved and has to be changed. So I pray that as we've talked about this, that God would give us, he would give me and you a bigger heart for the nations. And if you're here and you've never followed Jesus, I'm saying all this, and I say God's been orchestrating all kinds of things that you'd be sitting here this morning. And God loves those people so much, and he loves you. And so I pray that you'd come and talk to me afterwards if you've never heard about Jesus and you want to know more about what is this God? Who is he that's orchestrating all these things together so that more people could come to know his love? So thank you very much. Can I close in prayer? You want me to? I'm going to pray. All right, let's pray together. Father God, we're thankful that your love is not like our love. God, that your mercy is not like our mercy. And we just pray, God, that we would change. We want to be more like you. We want to have a heart that thinks the way you do, that is open to sacrificing ourselves, and just like you did, the life of your son, you were willing to sacrifice so that people might know about you. And so, God, we just pray that you would do that in our hearts, and we're thankful for that. In Jesus' name, amen.